Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jenny. Welcome to Hyphenated, a podcast about living in the hyphen. And today I have a very special guest, the mystery primo of all of my videos. His name is Kevin Bosch, and he's my producing partner and also happens to be the producer of Hyphenated, the podcast. What does Kevin not do? Tell us, Kevin.
I'm a set of triplets, and we all just... use the same name and try to get as much done.
Naturally, there's going to be people that might still not know that Joanna and I were first and foremost online comedy content creators. So for a quick background, I've been doing online content creation now for over 10 years because I started back when I was in Miami. You know, I moved to LA and I started making sketch comedy videos for a living, whether it was at BuzzFeed or We Are Me Too or right now on my own platforms. So Kevin and I go way back because we knew each other from our Miami days. And when he eventually moved to LA, it felt like a puzzle piece that was missing from my production because I had just gone off on my own. I stopped working at Me Too. And so it was a very scary fucking time for me. Mm-hmm. And so Kevin almost came at the right time.
I moved here because of Jenny. Like, I knew Jenny and she was doing stuff in Miami and I was very impressed. And she's like, I'm moving to LA. She was the first person that moved to LA that I knew of who, like, I actually felt like she was going to do something. And then she got here and she was doing stuff. And I was like, oh my God, why haven't I done this? And I talked to her a lot. I would message her on Facebook and stuff. And she would be like, just move here. There's work here. There's stuff here. And I did. And I just knew that Jenny was going to go places. So I just started offering to help on her shoots. And it just worked. It just clicked.
It was just like someone who understood what I fucking did, who understood the humor, who was really able to grasp my characters and is from Miami, is Latino, you know, was just like perfect. And then I didn't even realize, I'm like, damn, Kevin's a really good writer. And so Kevin and I now write most of the sketches together. He co-directs with me. I still feel like he does more of the directing, but...
I'm directing your vision.
You have
a vision, and I make sure your vision is seen.
And then many times, Kevin also runs sound, and lately he's been shooting a lot of the videos that you've been seeing.
And sometimes I'll put on the wig and I'll play some of the characters. You might not be able to tell.
Sometimes his hand will double.
I am sometimes Abuela's hands, which is weird when I watch it now.
Like the fun things that no one notices.
Yeah.
We've been working together for years on this Abuela's Family web series.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people would probably like to hear about our process and go more in depth regarding the family and these characters.
Yeah, I think that it's been a very interesting process from where it started to where it is now. And even just calling it Abuela's Family, that's something we came up with like a year ago. And we kind of like mm-hmm. retroactively renamed the whole series of sketches that because it didn't really have a name.
Yeah.
There was a moment when you first started doing your own stuff where I was like, oh, this is just going to be more of the same stuff from like BuzzFeed and Me Too, which is great, great stuff. But it was going to be like mm-hmm. parodies and short sketches and moment inventory. And then at some point, the characters were just so strong that we just started writing them as a series. And it eventually became what it is now, which is we refer to it as a web series, even though it's a bunch of sketches. You can watch them in a certain order and get a whole story over the last 4 years now of these characters' lives.
I know other people call it the Jenny cinematic universe or yeah. whatever, because there's just so many characters at this point. And not just the ones that I play, but also that, you know, you're a part of the character universe, my mm-hmm. husband, a bunch of my good friends. So it expands beyond just myself. And so it's getting a little out of control in yeah. a good way.
I think it's interesting how people refer to it as that because they did start as separate characters. They all started separately. You created most of them to be separate things. It started with Abuela, right?
Yeah, Abuela was the one and only for many years, especially when I brought her onto BuzzFeed. And she was in a bunch of Pedo-like videos, and even before Pedo-like.
I remember back in the day when you were still in Miami and you were doing the web show Geekasm, that's where Abuela started. She was Miami's superhero, and she had like a little mask, a little costume, but it was Abuela. It was Abuela the way we know her now. And I always think of it how like everybody knows the Blues Brothers, the dark suits, you know, they're musicians. And the first time they ever appeared on SNL, they were actually giant bees that played blues. And then it was a hit, but then later they brought them back to be just normal blues musicians. Yeah, I always thought that was really fun that Abuela started as a superhero Abuela, you know?
Yeah. Abuela was already a character that I had previously owned. So I was able to bring her to BuzzFeed, take her with me after BuzzFeed, bring her over to Mithu, take her with me after Mithu. But I didn't develop any other characters while I was at these companies.
Yeah.
For the exception of Flor, who she had no name at the time. I was at Mithu and I decided to make a Christmas video called Latina Moms During the Holidays. And it was just like this really intense, high-strung Latina mom who just loses her shit prepping the house before guests come over. It did very well. It went massively viral. And surprisingly, the execs at the time of Mithu, by the time I left, they allowed me to keep her. Because that was one of the things I requested. Can I keep this character?
Mm-hmm.
This no-name character. And they were gracious enough to let me keep her. But overall, I was usually very careful about bringing other new characters, especially to a platform like BuzzFeed, because
yeah.
I was afraid they would keep them. I was studying at the Groundlings at the time, and even my teachers there were like, no, keep those characters to yourself.
Yeah.
Put that on your own platforms. Don't let these people take it.
And then I feel that you do different versions of Abuela in a way. Like sometimes she had darker hair, sometimes she was a little younger, sometimes she was a little older. And I always felt like Crazy Latina Mom was like younger version of Abuela. And it wasn't until later on that you defined her as a totally separate character.
Yeah, I had a hard time because she sounded too much like Abuela. So if you hear her, how she sounds in the first video she ever came out in, it sounds more generic. And now, look, I'm going to be honest. She sounds a little Russian. I don't give a fuck. She has a weird fucking accent. It's not meant to be like the most accurately Cuban accent. She talk like this. And this is how I talk, Benita. Benita, stop it. And it's just this weird hybrid Cuban-Russian sounding shit. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I find it funny because it's just her voice is so weird. And it helps differentiate her from Abuela's voice because she also has this like deep, powerful voice like Abuela's.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, with Abuela, I learned to age her voice more, so it's more raspy and fragile sounding, but it's still pretty deep. And it's these little details that matter to me, you know.
But I do think that you've done a really, really good job with all the characters you play in that they do have their unique voices. And with Flor, I know it's the joke now between us is people say that she sounds Transylvanian, she sounds Russian, she sounds like Count Dracula. But you knew somebody in Miami that sounded like that? Was that it, or was that a totally like whole cloth thing that you invented?
I think it was more so an invention, but I'm fairly certain. I know people do sound like that. And actually people were defensive in the comments and they're like, no, my aunt talks like that.
Yeah, yeah.
At the end of the day, an accent
it could be anything.
It can be anything. You could be like raised in France and then end up living in South Africa. Like,
yeah.
You're going to have a weird accent. So that's just, I see Florida as that.
Back in Florida, I knew an older Korean lady, but she's from Jamaica and she has a Jamaican accent. Or like my mom. My mom, you know, Colombian lady, immigrant, she learned English. And if she would go workplaces and let's say she had a lot of like Mexican coworkers or Haitian coworkers, her accent would change. When she would speak English, she would sound a little bit more like the people she worked with. And I think that's something that people don't realize about Miami is that it's not cut and dry. That
no.
There are people, like, it's such a melting pot that you will start talking like other people. Like, you might be Colombian, but you're not going to necessarily have a Colombian accent when you speak English because you have a lot of, like, for all we know, Floyd had a bunch of Russian coworkers or something. I don't know.
Who knows? Yeah, I mean, that does happen. And it's still sketch. At the end of the day, it's still sketch comedy. Mm-hmm. We're still allowed to be outlandish mm-hmm. about these sorts of things. At this point, right, with, like, Flor and Abuela being my first two characters, I wanted to start showcasing other characters that were different. And so that's where, like, Marucci came about. I think Marucci's probably one of my favorite characters because she's especially based on a variety of work-from-home Miami hairdressers that I had growing up. Everything from, like, the 1985 peluquera aesthetic with, like, the old-school 80s art on the wall
mm-hmm.
and, like, the, you know, that they still have this 80s haircut that they never changed. It's like the Cuban nanny, right? Like the nanny, just very outlandish. and loud and gossipy. One of my hairdressers had three daughters. When I would come over, one of the kids was bound to come in and be like, "Mom, where's my sock?" Because in her specific space where she did hair were her washer and dryer. So like I would find like a bowl of cereal of like a kid left behind. It just was kind of chaotic, but she was very good at what she did. And so that's kind of when I came up with like the Larissa Marucci pairing.
Mm-hmm.
This single work from home mom, twice divorced, in this case just one kid, but it's like that dynamic of like she's trying to do her hair, her client's hair, in the most unprofessional of ways, and mm-hmm. then her daughter keeps coming in and interrupting.
I feel very strongly that Marucci's the linchpin. Like, if you didn't come up with Marucci, we wouldn't have everything else. We wouldn't have all these other characters. Like, if it was just Abuela and Flor and, like, even Gloria, like, it wouldn't have...
No.
Marucci brings it all together. And that's... that. I think that was the sketch where I saw that. Because I was still just kind of helping you. But you were still doing pretty much everything. And you were writing it and directing it, everything. And then you had this video you wanted to do about Marucci. And it was this very, like, well-written, thought-out sketch about her and her daughter and Elbeine and the client. And I think that was the moment I was like, oh, I want to keep being part of this, because this is an amazing sketch. This isn't just BuzzFeed stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then those two characters, Marucci's great. You know how I feel about Marucci. Marucci's my favorite. Marucci is like a Stefan Urkel. Like, Jenny shows up dressed as Marucci, and I'm like, oh my. Oh, okay, well. Whew. Because, like, just so her whole personality, bizarre. Her whole thing is just, like, it just, I don't know, there's something so whatever about her.
I wish I was more like Marucci, too. She gives no fuck.
She just has this confidence. She has this confidence. Yeah. Nobody's going to walk all over her. She's going to run her business the way she runs it. And I think that's very Miami.
Yes.
She's the most indicative of, like, Miami, of all the characters, in a way. All the other characters could probably live somewhere else, whereas Marucci is very, very much Miami. Like, I'm just going to open up the salon, and yeah, my kids are going to be here, whatever. I'm going to cut your hair. I'm good at it. Like, that's very much the spirit of, like, a las patadas, but, like, in a good way.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Larissa, because I think that's also a fascinating character that is also very, very popular.
Larissa is very popular, which is surprising to me, because she's really pesada.
So where does Larissa come from?
I feel like it's so interesting how every character has a completely different process for inventing these characters. They all came differently.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Michi was just like, oh, fuck, grab a wig. Right? And then Marucci was, I even took like a class to try to develop her. And I was very like, I knew what I wanted with Marucci. So then with Larissa, even though, yes, like I knew I wanted to bring in a daughter for Marucci based on my hairdresser's daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Her personality is a mix of a ton of shit. First, I mean, she's based on like, her accent is very Miami. It's the most Miami pesa accent you can think of. But I was actually using that voice for a year or two prior, because I used to make these like Disney dubs.
That's right.
Where I would like voice act for like the Disney princesses and make it super Latino and whatever. And all the princesses talked like Larissa. They're like, oh my God, bro, like I'm going to be late. Like the clock struck midnight, like bye. Like, and people, those videos would go viral. And so I was like, let me give a actual character, like a look, a wardrobe, bring this voice to life. And so that's how I combined it with Larissa.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's also kind of based on this other character I was developing back in the day when I had my other YouTube channel, where she's like super into like Lisa Frank and rainbows and glitter. It was very random, but people loved the character though. It was weird. But yeah, so she's like, she's a mix of a bunch of things, because even though she sounds very Miami and has extreme like Miami tendencies,
yeah,
she is also very fantastical, and she's like, she's just extra. Like, I mean, look at her mm-hmm. mom, right? She just loves like unicorns and glitter and like, oh my God, like, oh. But she's super pesada, and she and her mom fight all the time, but they clearly love each other. So like the dynamic of them roasting each other really works for me, because
yes,
some of my favorite sitcoms growing up are like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Martin, and like the funniest parts of those shows was when they would roast each other.
Yeah.
When Will would roast Carlton or Uncle Phil, and then like Martin would roast Pam, and they'd be like, Tommy, you ain't got no job, and Co, you know. but you can tell they still really loved each other, and it was like that great dynamic. And
yes,
which I thought was brilliant, because it's very real, it's very grounded, you see their flaws, and it's not some like perfect family, you know what I mean? That's like, we all get along so well. And I also want to make sure that we're not just one note, that my audience sees that they do love each other. and mm-hmm. they don't hate each other.
I think one of my favorite things about Larissa, and you kind of said this, is the dichotomy of her personality is, if you meet a girl in Miami that sounds like Larissa, she doesn't act like Larissa. She's going to be kind of like prissy and kind of stuck up and like, I did this. And that. And then you have Larissa be into like weird stuff. She's into like nostalgia stuff. Like, she's not the popular girl at school. Like, she sounds that way, but I think she's also, she's both these elements. Like, she sounds a certain way.
She's weird.
And she behaves another way. And I think mm-hmm. that if Larissa was just straight up like a stuck up Miami girl, it wouldn't have been as much fun.
And, no, absolutely yeah. not.
And I think that's why that character has resonated with kids in particular, because she has a fun yeah. voice, but she's also like a kid. Like, she's in her 20s, but she acts like she's a teenager. And I think that that's probably one of the best things about that character.
Yeah.
Then Gloria came in.
Oh, boy.
And that Gloria, that when your shady aunt visits, that's, I think, still one of your highest rated videos.
It's one of the highest viewed
yes,
videos.
Yes, yes. And it's really good. It's really well made. Do you want to talk a little bit about where Gloria came from?
Gloria was actually mentioned in the very first video that Flor appeared in, the Latina Moms for the Holidays.
Okay.
She's like, niños, levántate a limpiar porque tu tía Gloria is coming. And you know she likes to talk shit. That's one of the first lines that Flor says. Panicking. And then at the end, she starts talking about how, like, you know, your tía is always dressed to the nines and se cree la muy muy, y aquí estoy con las medias de Target. So everyone has a tía Gloria, whether it's your madrina, your tía, some woman figure in your family, even in your mom's friend circles, perhaps. Mm-hmm. There's always this, like, cubana arrepentida. And we kind of just grew up sometimes around certain people in our family circles who just thought they were better than everyone. They were always comparing you to, like, well, what school their kid went to and what grades and what college they got accepted to and what car so-and-so drives. And it was a lot of competing and one-upping, just putting on a facade. So I think she's not necessarily based on anybody specific.
Yeah.
There is someone from my family. There's some things about her. Like, I don't want to name names, but there was a line once, I think it was in that very video where you get a surprise visit by your shady aunt. This happened once with someone in my family. They came to visit our new house. Keep in mind, we've never owned a house. Like, my parents always rented, but it was still a nice house in Westchester. We had a pool, mm-hmm. you know, and she walks into the house and, like, she couldn't compliment the goddamn house.
Yeah.
She was like, it's very cute. It smells weird. Like, they don't know how to, like, I'm like, and you can tell she was jealous even though she owned a house, but, like, they have so much envidia. Like, these are the type of women that you put an azabache for. Like, you put an azabache on your kids to avoid el mal de ojo from women like this.
I think what's interesting, because now we have the three main sisters, we have Marucci, Flor, and Gloria. Those are the three tías, you know? And then we figured out who's the oldest and who's the youngest and what the dynamic is. But in reality, those three women would not be sisters. They probably would not come from the same household.
Yeah.
Gloria's sisters in real life would probably be other Glorias, and Marucci's sisters would be other Marucci's. So I think it's neat that we kind of put them in together. There was a video where Larissa had to deal with her shady aunt, so we immediately made Gloria Marucci's sister, which wasn't always the plan with these characters. And then later, that we want to do a sleepover video. We said, oh, let's use this crazy Latina mom character and have her off-screen kids ask her. And then she was supposed to call Marucci. And Marucci wasn't her sister. She's like, oh, my kid's staying over at your house or something like that. And somehow that whole sketch got turned around and upside down, and we weren't able to shoot what we wanted to shoot. And we just ended up saying, what if you dress up like a little kid?
Yep. And I just grabbed a random wig
mm-hmm.
and glasses. And I was in a bad mood that day
mm-hmm.
because I think I was already... Kevin's like, this is pre-Prozac Jenny. I have so many stories about pre-Prozac Jenny. I was just so exhausted.
Yes.
And we had just filmed something else.
Yes, I think so.
And I didn't feel like this was going to do well. I just didn't think it was going to do well. I'm like, oh my God.
It was a last minute change. And I think we didn't even write the sketch. I think we just conceived it. And we're like, what if it's just the kid asking her? But we wanted to make it so that it wasn't just an off-screen kid like it's been in the past. It was a very stressful day, but we knew it was a good topic. We knew it was going to do well. And it is still, also to this day, one of the most popular videos.
It's one of the most popular yeah. videos, which is mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
But I mean, it makes sense now watching it, mm-hmm. you know? that I'm like, okay, this is very relatable.
We shot out all the floor stuff, and then she goes upstairs and she comes back down in this little bob wig and these little glasses. Yeah, like Jenny was not having it. She was like, oh, this isn't good, this isn't whatever. And we start filming, she starts performing, and me and Christina, swear to God, me and Christina look at each other, and we knew, we're like, this character is fantastic. From the first moment you started doing the little girl voice, it was like, again, another person. All your characters are another person. But we were like, where did this little kid come from? Because I expected to be like, hi, mom, blah, blah, blah. And there's just something about Michi that doesn't make her seem like she's precocious, which I think that's the thing why I realize now, I hate precocious kids. But maybe it's because you were mad that day, but Michi has a little bit of an edge to her, or a little bit of like savviness to her, where she's like, but why? You know? And I don't know. We, Christina and I knew, and then we stopped recording, and you're like, I don't even know if that was good. And she and I were like, that was fantastic. We loved this character. We loved it from the beginning. And it was something you came up with on that spot that day. The voice, the glasses, the hair, was literally, you pulled it out of the closet.
Yeah. And she's really fun for me. Because now she's a big part of the family, and we've utilized her in so many different ways. And it even helped me, because discovering her voice, it helped me book a role on a Netflix animated show with her exact voice. And it made me realize, like, oh, I can do a pretty believable kid's voice.
Yes.
And so that helped me with that discovery, which was really cool.
When you do Michi, you really get into it to the extent of, like I said, like the times that you dress up as Abuela, like I tend to interact and direct the characters differently. Like I treat Abuela differently than I do Maruchi and stuff. But I still see, like, I get that they're still you. And then there's this one day recently when we're doing Michi and we're shooting, and then you just sat next to me as Michi and you started talking to me about normal stuff. And it was like really confusing to me, because I was like, this child is talking to me about adult things. Because I think with Michi, there's just an extra level of like me kind of just, it's such a different person.
Yes.
It's a child. And I don't know, like, there's just an extra level to Michi.
This leaves us at Joslaney, who is my goth character.
Yes, now. She's your goth character right now. But when it started...
Yeah.
Like, she was introduced, like, at the end of the first year of these videos, but she was mentioned at the beginning of that year.
It was a running gag. I love to do this, where, like, we kind of leave the audience hanging time after time, and they're like, it makes them want to know more. So we've done that with various characters, right? And some have not yet to even appear yet. Tia Gloria, from the very start of the videos that she appeared in, she was always bragging about her daughter, Joslaney, who was this like pristine Harvard graduate who also teaches kids English in Japan. And like this outrageous resume just to make her nephews and nieces feel like shit, which a lot of people can relate to. And so she kept mentioning her.
But there was always that idea that she was lying, you know?
Yes.
That we kept going back to.
I like tricking the audience sometimes.
Tia Gloria would talk about all this stuff about her perfect little angel child, and the implication was that she wasn't. And I think early on, you and I, the idea was we were going to reveal that she was this really like crazy, wild party girl. And then audience members started guessing that. They were like, oh, I bet when we meet Joslaney, she's going to be this wild child. And we got to the point where like, what if she's not?
Yeah.
What if she's something else? For a lady like Gloria, what would be worse than having a wild child? And it would be having like a child that has a really alternative life. Like somebody who's goth or emo or like something.
Yeah,
like,
like this artsy fartsy, eccentric, pierced goth.
Yes.
I was so happy because when we finally revealed her, a lot of people like loved her and accepted this character. And they were like, oh my God, that's me. I am the black sheep of my family.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there are alternative Latinos. There are geeky, weird, goth, eccentric, artsy, hipster Latinos. And I'm glad that I brought her on because she's so different from everybody else. And she's very close to who I am. I mean,
yes.
I'm a mix of a lot of some
you're
of the characters.
You're all the characters. You're I'm all a the little characters, bit of each character. Yeah.
But yeah.
I think that the thing that I love the most about Joslaney when we came up with her is that we also made sure that like she wasn't a bad person.
Mm-mm.
that her mom wasn't lying when she was like, oh, she's studying or she's doing this. Like, she just wasn't being honest about who her daughter was, but like we made sure that she was smart, that she's a good student, that she's kind. And you know how in the Munsters, mm-hmm. they're all monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And then the niece Marilyn, she's like the only quote unquote normal one, but they all treat her like she's a weirdo.
The weirdo, yeah.
So I wanted that to be Jess Laney, where like of all of these characters, she's the most well adjusted. She's the one that has her shit together. She's studying. She's smart. She like is kind. She works. She has friends. And everybody else has all these weird issues. And then she's the most well adjusted, but they would treat her like she was the outcast. Yeah. And I really like that.
She's great.
And of course we have the characters David plays. We have,
yes,
you know, Ezekiel, who's
Maritza's boyfriend.
Maritza's boyfriend.
And then Benito, who is like fucking brilliant. And it's funny because he's Peruvian Puerto Rican, but he's playing a Cuban because he's basing this character off of his Puerto Rican aunt's Cuban husband and then my dad. So there's like a mix of these two Cuban men.
And I do think it's like a type of Latino dad that we don't always see. Latino yes. dads on TV are either like these hotheads or like these like bobitos or something. And then Benito...
Or really sexist and strict.
Yeah, yeah. It's there's a very specific type of Latino dad. And Benito's just like easygoing, incredibly sweet and attentive. Like he loves his wife. He loves his kid. He does whatever he can for them. He cooks for them.
Honestly, he's based on my experience because mm-hmm. in my family, my grandma, both of my grandmas and my mom all wear the pants. They kind of led the pack. So I come from a line of women who were like that. And the men, they took more of a backseat. Of all the people that I usually laugh my ass off with is with David and with Laura
yeah.
when she plays Midda. It brings me so much joy to work with so many funny people because when I'm editing the videos, me meo de la risa. Like, and that's when I know I'm like, I love what I do. I'm glad we did this. I love yeah. these people. You're stronger in numbers. Like, I could mm-hmm. choose to just do these characters by myself, yeah, and not bring on other talent, especially other women who are super fucking funny. I'm like, why would I not want to bring on all of these incredible women? Mm-hmm. Who are so fucking funny and are gonna only make these videos better.
It makes you funnier. You're funnier oh, with Lauda. You're funnier with Dani.
Absolutely.
You're funnier with all these people.
You like, play off yeah. one another.
Mm-hmm.
That same video where we introduced Maruchi and Laritza, we also introduced Fidelia.
Yes.
Who is played by my friend Dani Adaliz. She's Puerto Rican, super funny character actress, has a lot of creative ideas. And the friendship dynamic between Fidelia and Maruchi has been fantastic. And people genuinely love their chemistry together as these two, like, chismosas who, quote unquote, work together.
With Fidelia, we also brought in your first character in your sketches that wasn't necessarily Cuban. She was very, very much yes. Puerto Rican on purpose. And I think that's another thing about having it set in Miami, that we wanted to make it clear that it's not just, like, one kind. Like, she talks a certain way. You know, they have different words, her and Maruchi have different words for things. But that was the start. And I think we've kind of done really well with that, with making sure that all the different cultures, as much as we can in Miami, are represented in the videos.
Yeah, and I'm glad you bring that up because I don't want to be that person who's like, I'm just a white Cuban in Hollywood who's only going to tell white Cuban stories. because that's not the entire experience of Miami. And I feel like if there's any city that is like such a Latin American and Caribbean melting pot, it's freaking Miami. It just wouldn't be fair and it wouldn't be accurate. I want to be able to showcase, like you're saying, like showcase Miami for what it is, showcase Latinos for who they are beyond just, you know, what you see on TV these days. And so I'm really blessed about the fact that I have a lot of friends who are wonderful actors who come from different parts of Latin America and the Caribbean. Another person who plays Maruchi's good friend is played by Cristina Vargas, who's Mexican. We've got Mirta Laura, who is Venezuelan.
And we make sure that the characters reflect that. We ask
yes.
the actors, like, what would a Venezuelan or what would a Mexican say in this case? And I think it helps them, too, because I'm not an actor, but you guys have that experience of going in and auditioning or getting roles and then people trying to tell you what a Cuban sounds like or tell...
Yeah, which is ridiculous. And también now we have newer characters like Henry, who plays Hector. Mm-hmm. In our videos, and he's an Afro-Latino Nicaraguan. And he's also queer. So there's so many wonderful, heartfelt comments from queer Nicaraguans who were mm-hmm. like, I feel so seen. And it makes me want to cry because I'm like, thank God for the internet, right? Because I just don't think mainstream media is still doing its job at representing. And it's because, again, they think one Latinx or like one Latino story is enough.
Yeah.
To cover all of them. And so then you've got like people like these queer Nicaraguan kids who are commenting on these YouTube videos going, my God, I've never seen myself on anything.
The thing is that it's not like, you know, we hear people saying that like, oh, representation and we have to bring this. But in reality, it's not like a chore.
No.
The more we do it, the better it is. Like literally, like the fact that we brought Henry on, it opened up the world. Like he's great, but also like he has like, without him, we wouldn't have had that whole tamale off in the last episode. You know, if we have like Asian Latino on the videos, then we are like, well, what do they do? What do they say? What are they thinking? How can we have, you know, how can we have abuela interact with them? How can we have, what would be a funny thing? So it's not, I think a lot of people in the mainstream see it as a problem of like, oh, now we got to include all these people. And it's, to us, it's like, this is great. This is more material. Otherwise, we're just going to be writing the same jokes over and over again. So I think it's a plus. I don't know why people are against it, you know?
Y tampoco, yo no quiero, I don't want people to look at it and go, oh, Jenny's just trying to check a bunch of boxes, because that's not what it is. In all of my writing, anything that I do, I always try to mix it up because that reflects reality. Mm-hmm. You know, like mixed race couples and, you know, like queer, everything. Jesus, like that's literally when people are like, ooh, the gay agenda. I'm like, what are you talking about, bro? What are you talking about? Gay agenda. First of all, I have ADHD. I've never been able to keep an agenda more than 5 days. I'm like, gay people exist, y'all. Mm-hmm. Like, we're everywhere. Queer people are freaking everywhere. And people of color are everywhere. And like, shit. So yeah. I get really frustrated.
The
so
agenda for me, is to just exist.
Agendas to just reflect reality.
Yes.
Reflect society in the most authentic way possible. I know anytime I've ever interviewed, people are like, well, so what's next?
Yeah.
So what's next, you guys? I mean, honestly, Kevin and I, our dream is to sell a show.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is to bring Abuela's family in some capacity to television.
Yes.
Whether it's through live action or animation, that is the ultimate goal because we see how much it has impacted our audience over the past 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it could potentially do well on television. So.
But yeah, I think that one of the things I think about when I tell people that I work in digital media production or whatever is when we make the Thanksgiving video or the holiday Christmas music videos, people then the next day they post videos online of like their family watching it during dinner, you know, on their TV. And I realized that like the way that things are so blurred now with TV, where like there's movies, there's television shows, you can put YouTube, you can put Twitch, you can put anything on TV. There are people out there. There are like abuelita out there and moms out there who like every year their kids put on the new Jenny Lorenzo Thanksgiving episode, and the moms and the abuelitas and the tios don't even realize it's not a TV show. To them, they always see it on TV. To them, they experience it on TV every year. And to them, it's television.
That's true.
Yeah, and that makes me feel kind of nice that, like, yeah, well, of course, we want to level up and we want to produce for TV for real, but it doesn't discount the fact that in some ways we are already producing for TV, you know?
Yeah. No, it's very, very, very true. I'm very grateful. And for those of you who are curious, just go on. I think YouTube is probably the best place.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I post all my stuff on pretty much every platform you can find me on. But YouTube is probably the most organized space where you can view my content. So it's just youtube.com/JennyLorenzo.
Yeah. And then for those of you who do follow and watch the videos, we have a special treat for you. We're going to finally reveal how Primo Kevin is related to everybody. Oh no, we're running out of time.
Oh no, you guys, I'm so sorry.
I have to put my producer hat on and it's time to end it. Okay. Next time, next podcast. Okay. Talk to you later.